We're holding on Lamed Zion Omud Beis, the seventh line of the wide lines. We're talking in the Mishnah about the Dinim Tchumim on Yom Tov, where Tchumim apply on Yom Tov the same as they do on Shabbos, but on Yom Tov you have considerations about being able to take something out, about how far you can take something given that you can carry on Yom Tov. When you get down to it, of course, with animals, you could just as well say the same thing on Shabbos. You're allowed to walk an animal on Shabbos, but it's more common for these dinim to apply on Yom Tov. So therefore the Mishnah has them here primarily in Beitza rather than so much in Eruvin. So we established the idea that in general, something that belongs to a person is limited to their own tchum. We were talking about then two people buy something b'shutfus, buy a barrel of wine or an animal in partnership. What do they do when they split it up? Are they each allowed to take it to their area if their tchumim are not exactly the same? Is each one allowed to take it to his area or not? We had a machlokes Rav and Shmuel on it, where Rav says that the barrel is mutter, the behemah is osur, and we said really Rav holds yesh breira, so therefore when they split up the thing, then we consider that each person got what was coming to them in the first place, retroactively, and therefore it's fine, each one is taking what was kona shvisa in their tchum at the beginning of Yom Tov. However, by an animal, Rav still would say that still doesn't work, because while the animal is alive, each part of it gets nourishment from each other part. Shmuel had said the whole thing is also because he holds yesh breira, and we said the same thing. Rav Hoshea and Rav Yechanan have the same machlokas. Rav Hoshea holds yesh breira, so therefore, in a case like that, you would be able to split it up, and we consider that what each person has is what belonged to him all along. And Rav Yechanan says that no. So the question is, v'savar Rav Hoshea yesh breira? Does Rav Hoshea really hold that breira is valid? And we can say that what he chose now, breira, what he chose, it retroactively applies from the beginning. V'hotnan, we learned in a Mishnah, we learned this previously in the Masechta, Hames Babayis, if there's a dead body inside a house, V'loy Psochim Harbe, and the house has many doors, where you might take out the mess through any of the doors, Kulan Tmeim, the doorways of all those doors, even if the doors are closed, if there's any Kalim in them, are all Tomei, because eventually you're going to open up one of those doors and take the mess out through it. So all of them are Tomei. It's interesting, before, when we learned this previously on Daf Yud, Rashi had said over there that this is Dirabanan. Here he's going to end up saying that it is Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. How to reconcile that, there's a good deal of discussion among the Achronim. How to reconcile that, one answer is that there we're talking according to Rava, and here we're talking according to Rav Hoshea, and therefore there can be they could have different views of the matter. Niftach Echman, if one of the doors is open, who Tomei v'kulon Tahorin, then only that doorway is Tomei, and therefore if there are Kalim or people sitting in that doorway then they're Tomei, and everything in all the other doorways is Tahor. Choshev Lahitzia Be'echaman, if he didn't yet open one of the doors, but he decided that he's going to take out the mess through one of them, or even not a door, even a window that's 4x4 tefachim, which is large enough to take the mess out through, matzelas al psochem kolam, then that saves all the other doorways, then only whatever is in that doorway under the lintel of that doorway or under the frame of that window, is Tomei. But everything else would be Tahor. Now, Beshamai says that works only if he had in mind that particular door or that particular window before the mess died. Beshamai is going to say that once the mess died, you can't say that now his machshava is going to take away that truma from the rest of the doors or the rest of the windows. Beshamai says it works even if he had in mind after the person passed away. The Itmar Allah, and we said on it that when we say that we're matahir the other doorways, what do we mean? Rav Hoshea says even Beis Hillel is only saying that it helps to be matahir, that this machshava of his helps to be metaher the doors from now on, meaning you'll say that from now on, anybody who sits in one of those doorways or any keli that's placed in one of those doorways is going to be is not going to be tamei. But not that we would say that because of that, anything that was previously in that was previously placed in that doorway before he had that machshava should be tamei. Rav Hoshea says we're not going to say that.
What is the basis for their different opinions, and why don't they bring them up front so that, you know, one could decide?
Well, that's what we're going to say now, that Rav Hoshea's opinion at least depends on the matter of Brera.
Where do they all get it from?
Well, ultimately, they get it from either their Rebbeim or their Svara. There's a svara to say that Breira should work, and therefore to say that there's a svara to say that Breira should work when he decided that this particular door is, I'm going to explain implicitly, I don't know. When he decides that this particular door is what he's going to be taking out the mess through, then retroactively, that means all along from the beginning, that was the door that the mess was going to be taken out of. Therefore, as of when the mess died already, then that only that doorway became tamei. None of the other ones became tahor. That would be if we say yesh breira. If we say ein breira, then we would say that no. The fact that he picked one of them now doesn't necessarily affect anything of what happened before he thought that. Up until now, all of them were tamei because we didn't know which one he's going to take through. Fine. From now on, he decides he's going to take one. He's going to take it out through one of them. So therefore, we say it applies to the. So now we say only that one door is tamei, and the rest of them are tahor. But we wouldn't say that that retroactively affects the status of the rest of that door or the rest of the doors.
Where is the concept of Breira source from in Tereshib Yichsav? That's what I'd like to know.
The concept of Breira is that you have to have some question of when you choose something. I'm sure there must be a source for it in Tereshib Yichsav. I don't know what it is offhand. But in any case, there has to be a svara over here. When you take something, there has to be the question when you had something, like in the original case over here in the Gemara, you have two people own an animal or two people own a barrel of wine in partnership. Eventually, they split it up. One svara is to say that what they chose now means that it's what they were going to get all along, and the other svara is to say that not. So now the Amoraim are arguing about that point. Do we say Breira or not? I mean, we have this comes up in many areas of halacha, which is there's sugyas about Breira scattered all over Shas, because in many different cases you have, for example, we know a person. Let's say you have the famous Mishnah of a lekeach yain ben akusim that's brought in almost a dozen places in Shas, where a person buys a barrel of wine from the kusim and needs to take truma and ma'aser from it. And the question is again Breira. When he later on, so he pre-designates that X amount is going to be truma, X amount is going to be meiser, later on when he takes it out, is that the same two lugim and 10 lugim and whatever that he intended all along or not? So there may well be a source for this question in Tereshib Yichsav, I don't know, but in any case, it's basically a svara. What do we say? So now, Rav Hoshea is saying, at least, that there's no such thing as breira in this connection, and therefore therefore the fact that you had in mind that you're going to take the mess out through one particular door, and you only thought that now, fine, that helps that door from now on. It doesn't help anything for what was in that doorway up until now. We say that up until now, all the doorways were tamei, and now, from now on, if you have, now that he decided, then anything that's placed in any of the doorways is going to be tougher. So in any case, we see that Rav Hoshea holds that there is no such thing as Breira. So what are you telling me to begin with that Rav Hoshea says there is? So the Gemara says that, so Mikana Lahaba Ein Lamafrei Eloi, even Rav Hoshea is saying it only works according to the syllable Mikana Lahaba, but not Lamafrei, not retroactively. And the answer is April. Okay, flip around the opinions. Rav Hoshea Ma Ein Breira, Rav Yechanan Ma Yesh Breira. So say the other way around. By the way, I mean, when we get to, we're going to talk about in a few lines at the top of Lamed Ches Amud Beis what the halacha is as far as Breira. We can talk about a little bit more what the svara is, why we would say, when we would say Breira and when not. Anyway, So now the question is, if you're going to tell me that, if you're going to flip around the opinions, it comes out Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says, yes, Breira. So now you have the other question, Rabbi Yochanan Breira. Does Rabbi Yochanan hold of Breira? We see that there's a context where he holds that not. Well, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ha'achen Shecholku, when brothers divide up their estate, so they have, they inherited a piece of land or something from their father, they divide it up among themselves. If we said Breira, if we said that there's a concept of Breira, then we would say, fine, each one, the portion that he gets is the portion that was meant to be his as of when the father passed away. So then fine, in that case, then each one got their independent portion, and that's it, it stays theirs forever. But no, Rabbi Yochanan says, L'kuchasein, they're considered buyers, it's considered in effect as though each of them bought the property from the other. Each one, this one gets the north side, that one gets the south side. We say that to begin with, it's not necessarily when the moment the father passed away, it was destined that Reuven is going to get the north and Shimon the south. It could have been the other way around. When they eventually decide which one is getting which part, then it means That means, in effect, each one bought his portion from the other one and traded the portion that might have been his for a different one. Therefore, Machzidin Zelos Ebed Yovel. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says they're going to have to return the land to each other in Yovel, which there you have a discussion. What does that mean exactly? Doesn't mean that they undo the whole division and divide it fresh, or does it just mean that Rambam learns, for example, that it just means they switch portions with each other? In any case, we see Rabbi Yochanan holds Ein Breira. If he held Yesh Breira, there'd be no need for that. V'chitema. So now we have Rabbi Hoshea doesn't hold a Breira. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold a Breira. So who does? We said between them, one of them holds a Breira. V'chitema ki lesfe that Rabbi Yochanan Breira b'daraisa. You're going to answer, okay, maybe Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold a Breira when it comes to dinim daraisa. So therefore, by Yovel, he'll say Ein Breira. Therefore he'll say we can't rely on Breira, and therefore we have to be Mekayim and Mitzvah of Yovel and return the portions to each other. But maybe when it comes to a Din Dirabanan, which we're talking about over here, the Dinim of Tchumim, where again, we bought an animal or we bought a barrel of wine in partnership, and now we want to divide it. Where the whole point that we're saying that we can't take it, that each person is limited to their own tchum, is dirabanan. Maybe we would say over dirab avod, dirabanan islay. Maybe when it comes to things dirabanan, Rabbi Yochanan would hold a breaker. The problem is, is it true in fact that Rabbi Yochanan holds a breaker by things dirabanan? Vahatoni ayoy, but ayoy, that was his name, taught a breisa. Now, the beginning of the Mishnah in Eruvin talks about a case where a person puts an Eruv al Tanai. So for example, you have a Chacham coming to town. He wants to be able to go to the Chacham's Drasha. He doesn't know whether the Chacham is going to come to the east or the west. So to the east or the west of the city. You have, let's say, a Bes Medrash on both sides. So he puts that. So the Mishnah says over there that he could put an Eruv with a Tanai. And say, if the Chacham comes to the east, then I want my Eruv to the east to be valid, and to the west, I want the one to the west to be valid, and if the Chacham doesn't show up, then I don't want either one to be valid, etc. Now, Ayoy teaches a Braisa, that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Einar de Masnal Shnei Dvarim Kachad, a person cannot make a Tnai on two things of that, on two things like that. In other words, the Tanakhama is saying that you can do that because you can do Breira. The next day, on Shabbos, you can decide, given that the Chacham now has come since the beginning of Shabbos, the Chacham came to the east side or the west side. So now on Shabbos itself, you're going to decide on that basis, okay, I want to go to this side or I want to go to that side, and that would work on the grounds of Breira. But Ayoy says that Rabbi Yehuda says no, Einan Amasnal Shnei Dvarim Kachad, a person cannot make a Tanai on two things like that together. Ela im ba chacham lemizrach eruv lemizrach. So the case over there actually rather is where you have potentially you could have two chachamim coming. Let's say you know before Shabbos that two chachamim are on their way to town. You know one of them is going to be going to the east and one of them is going to be going to the west, and you don't know, you haven't decided in advance which one you're going to want to go listen to their drasha. So the Tanakhama is saying that's fine, you can make the two Eruvin and make a Tanai. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't do that. You can't have where there are two Chachamim and you're going to decide which direction you want to go on Shabbos. Ella, im ba Chacham la Mizrach Rather, Rabbi Yehuda says in Ayah's Braisa that if you have one Chacham coming and you don't know, and you don't know in advance which direction he's coming, and he comes l'mizrach, Eruv l'mizrach, then it would be, then you could say it's a valid Eruv to the east, l'mayrav Eruv l'mayrav, v'ilu l'kan l'kan loy, but you can't have two of them that could be equally valid, and you're going to decide on Shabbos which one is which. V'havinan ba. Now, in Eruvin, when we have this Mishnah and this Braisa of Ayah, we ask about it. Why is Rabbi Yehuda not allowing it if it's lakan or lakan, if you have two chachamim coming in different directions? The ein breira, you're going to say Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the breira doesn't work, and therefore doesn't work, that the eruv after all takes effect bein hashmoshes. So you can't say that his choice on Shabbos itself retroactively affects which eruv became valid on, at bein hashmoshes. But you could say Mizrach HaMayrav Nami Ein Breira. So you say the same thing when there's an east and the west. So it's one Chacham. Still, there's no Breira. If we assume, Rashi says, that we're talking about that the Chacham only shows up in one place or the other after Bein HaShemoshes. So you could have, let's say, for example, where the Chacham is still a distance from the city. So one possibility is he might be within a Tum Shabbos of that Beis Medrash on that side of the city. So he hasn't gotten there yet, but he will get there after Shabbos begins. Or you even have the case that Rashi describes where the Chacham is almost 4,000 Amma away from the Beis Medrash. And what he does is he's Kona Shvisa. He has in mind to make his Makam Shvisa, to make his base up to 2,000 amos away from him by a certain landmark, a certain tree, let's say. And then the halacha is that even after Shabbos begins, he's allowed to walk till that tree and then from there till the Beis Medrash. So, but in that case also, the fact is when Shabbos began, the Chacham wasn't there yet. He only showed up on Shabbos itself. So how does that, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, how would that work either? If Rabbi Yehuda has a problem with Breira, then just like it doesn't work with two Chachamim where you don't know in advance which one you want to go to, it shouldn't work in advance with one Chacham either where he hasn't actually come there before Shabbos. Tosfos discusses this a little bit and explains differently. Actually, the explanation that Tosfos gives is actually similar to what Rashi himself says in Eruvin, which is, we can be talking about where the Chacham, the one Chacham himself, is able on Shabbos to decide to come in either direction. Say, for example, the Chacham is north of the city. You have one Beis Medrash northeast of the city and the other one northwest of the city. Either way, when Shabbos begins, he's within 2,000 amos of both of them. 4,000 actually, if you make it. So the Bate Medrash themselves are 4,000 amos away from the city in either in one direction and in the other. He himself at the beginning of Shabbos is within 2,000 amos of both of them. So he's, let's say, due north of the city. He can either take the east route and end up by the northeastern Beis Medrash, or the western route and end up at the northwestern Beis Medrash. So still, you have the same point, in other words, that he could equally well reach either one of them on Shabbos, and so why is Rabbi Yehuda allowing that either? Isn't that also a thing of Breira? The Amr Rabbi Yechanan Ukva Ba Chacham. And Rabbi Yechanan says, as a matter of fact, Rabbi Yehuda would be talking about over there, not where we said that the Chacham has not yet come at the beginning of Shabbos. We're talking about Rabbi Yehuda is allowing it where the Chacham already came there before Bein HaShemoshes. In other words, the situation is that you know that the Chacham came, but you're not sure in which direction it is. Some people are saying it was in one, and some people are saying it was in the other. So now it's not a matter of Breira anymore. Now it's a matter of, at the beginning of Shabbos, the Chacham was in one or the other place. All it is you don't know yet which it was, so fine, Shabbos morning you're gonna find out which one it was for sure, and then you're gonna go, and then you're gonna go in one direction or the other. That's not a matter of Breira. Breira would mean where the situation itself was still in flux when Shabbos began. Here it wasn't. The actual situation is that the Chacham is there. And if you had a way of knowing at the beginning of Shabbos that he was there, you would have just said that Eruv is the one that's valid and that's that. Therefore, that's not a case of Breira. So we see that Rabbi Yechanan. So you see that Rabbi Yechanan does not hold a Breira either. Otherwise, he didn't have to say about Bachacham. He could say that in fact we're allowing it on the grounds of Breira. Now Tosfos points out that here we're talking to explain Rabbi Yehuda's opinion according to Ayah, who says that Rabbi Yechanan himself holds like that opinion. And in fact, that, what Tosfos says, the answer is because Now, like this, we mentioned yesterday that within the concept of Breira, there can also be a question. Okay, so we're saying that Breira is, good morning, Yaakov, you have a situation where something is in flux. You don't know at the beginning of Shabbos, or you don't know at the beginning of when the thing has to be chal, what the situation was. Sometimes you can have, though, you can have within that a distinction, what is going to resolve it? What is going to make it in the end that we know one thing or the other? Is it tola b'das atzmo, that you're making it depend on your own decision? A classic example of that would be, let's say, for example, the halakhech yayin ben akusim, where it's you're the one who decides what two logim you're going to be taking out for truma and what ten you're going to be taking out for ma'aser rishon, etc. On the other hand, there's tola b'das acherim, where you make it depend on somebody, where it depends on somebody else's decision, namely over here. In the case of the chacham, where you don't know, he himself could decide to come in one direction or the other.
And over there, if the person has yet to make the decision, it's different than if the person has already made the
right,
decision.
Right, right. So now,
if the person's already in town.
Because if he's already in town, then of course he already made the decision. Right.
There's no barrier at all.
Right, exactly. So now, Rabbi Yochanan seems to hold that there's no difference between those two. Because otherwise, in our case over here, Rabbi Yochanan could well have explained things using that. The fact that he doesn't implies that he doesn't hold a breira at all, whether tola b'das atzmo or tola b'das acherim. So even though it's true, we're doing this in order to explain Rabbi Yehuda's shita, according to Ayo, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan was forced to explain it that way implies that he doesn't hold a breira. So we're back to, it seems Rabbi Hoshea doesn't hold a breira, as we see in the case of the dead person in the house. We see that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold a breira as even by things d'rabbanan, as we see over here by the sting of Eruvin. So who does hold that yesh breira between the two of them? The answer is ela la'olam lo tepuch. The answer is that actually you could say that you don't have to flip it around. In fact, our original version was correct. Rabbi Hoshea says no breira. Rabbi Yehuda says breira. You know when Rabbi Hoshea would say that breira doesn't apply by something daraisa. So now, we're talking about over here, Rabbi Hoshea said his din in the case of the mess in the house. The fact that the doorways are tomei is halacha l'moshe Sinai. Now again, here is where Rashi said in the same sugya on Daf Yud that it's only a dirabbanan. So one explanation is, there he was talking according to Rabba, who may well hold it's only dirabbanan, and here we're talking about it according to Rabbi Hoshea, or according to the Summa de Gemara, which might hold that it's daraisa. So therefore, Rabbi Hoshea is going to say that their breira doesn't work. But in the case of the Eruv, let's say, or in the case of two people who bought an animal or whatever, B'shutfus, Rabbi Hoshea might well hold yesh breira. Avva d'rabbanan islay, he does hold of breira when it comes to things d'rabbanan. So darash marzutra halacha k'Rabbi Hoshea. So that marzutra darshin, that in fact the halacha is like Rabbi Hoshea. We say no breira by things d'araisa, but we do allow breira by things d'rabbanan. In fact, one reason to say that is, so the Pnei Yeshua and the Tzlach talk about one reason why we might hold that way is because ultimately the matter of Breira is an outgrowth of the Dinim of Sukkot. So okay, here's an answer for you, Avraham Moshe, where we get the concept of Breira from. One way of looking at it is it's a form of Sukkot. At the beginning, there was a suffix, whether this thing, or whether this doorway or that doorway is going to be used. At the beginning, there was a suffix, whether this particular molecule of the wine versus that one is going to go to this one, etc. Well, we know that with Dirabanan, suffix Dirabanan Lakula, suffix Dirais of Achumra. Therefore, we have reason to distinguish and say, therefore, we have reason, so that gives us a basis for the concept of Breira, and that gives us a reason to say, like Rabbi Hoshea does, that we're not going to allow it by things that are daraisa, but we will allow it by things that are banan, because by dirabanan, we generally go lakula when there's a suffix. Okay. The Gemara continues. Amar Shmuel. Now, so we were talking about before the tchum that an animal is
living. Before we move on, just one question. Is the concept of suffix something d'rabbanan or d'oraisa? Or do we see any source in the Torah as well?
D'oraisa can have a suffix. What do you mean? Obviously, in things d'oraisa, you can have a suffix. A person is not sure whether a person is not sure
that's
whether he becomes.
That's on my question.
Okay.
That's on my question.
That's where we get the idea that suffix d'oraisa of a chumra. That itself
no.
is a good.
No, I didn't ask that. I'm asking where is the concept of suffix. Is it midoraisa? Do we find it in Teresh Bichsal somewhere?
I mean, again, I don't know if we do. We'd have to think. I'd have to think about it. But in any case, I don't know that you need. I don't know you need a source for it in Tereshit Maksav. It's the nature of the human condition that there are going to be sfeikus in life. Think of it. I mean, you have a person can be suffic tummy. You can have a suffic whether this pot of food became treif or not. Anything in life is going to involve sfeikus. That's just the nature of things.
Well, we're saying das tera and das bnei adam. So one doesn't necessarily imply the other.
Fine. Even if we say das bnei adam, the fact is we have to do something with a suffic. We have to. We can't just say, well, there's no source in Tereshit Maksav for the concept of suffix. Therefore, suffix doesn't exist. What do you mean? The fact is, it exists. We got to do something about it. But maybe there is. There may well be. To a certain extent, actually, yeah. Now that I think of it, yeah. We're talking about tumah. You have the concept of suffix tumah versus a yochid and suffix tumah versus a rabim. And the Gemara, in fact, learns that from Sukkim. Suffix tumah versus a yochid is Tomei, we learn from a soita, where there you have a suffix, and because of the suffix, she's also to her husband until she drinks the mei soita. And on the other hand, you have a case from which we learn that suffix tumah b'shus rabim is to her. I don't remember offhand what that case is that we learn from, but we do learn such a thing, that suffix tumah b'shus rabim is to her. And therefore, so there you have a case of a suffix where we say the Torah itself tells us what to do in b'shus yachid versus b'shus rabim. So yeah. But in any case, in other areas of life also, you have a suffix and you have to see what to deal with. Yeah, Ben Ashmosh is a suffix, you have a suffix Lila, you have all over the place, you have sfeikus, yeah. Okay, so let's go on. Omer Shmuel, Shoshal Paton. If you have an ox that belongs to a fattener, so he fattens up oxen and then sells them. So now, if you buy that animal from him on Yom Tov, the harehu karagle kol adam, then it's like the feet of every person. Meaning, it actually explains, a person from a different city comes to buy it, and he came there by means of an eruv, let's say, he made an eruv tumen, so now he'll be allowed to take the animal home on Yom Tov, Now, why is that? So Rashi says the reason is because since the patam usually sells the animals, and therefore he has in mind to begin with that whoever comes and buys it is going to be able to take it home.
Okay.
Now, the question is, of course, that Shmuel just said before that Ein Breda, we established that Shmuel holds Ein Breda, so how by the patam over here does it work if he says Ein Breda? Mela, Shmuel held Yesh Breda, fine, you would say retroactively the guy who bought it and is taking it on Yom Tov was the one who was going to take it from before Yom Tov, and therefore that would be good. But if Shmuel holds Ein Breda, how does that work? So there's a few answers of Rishonim. The Baal Amor brings up a possibility that maybe in fact Keragle Kol Adam would mean in fact that it means only it's limited to the common tchum that all possible customers could have, which potentially could mean that you can't take it anywhere. But he says a better explanation, he says, is that the patam is much more certain of selling the animal than the shurfim are of dividing up their chavis or their behemoth. So therefore, we have much more reason to say that Breda would work rather than by the partners, where they may decide not to divide it up at all. And then, the Ravid talks about a different point. Also, partners are usually machbid on one another to get exact portions, whereas over here, the Patam wants to sell the animal, and therefore he's not machbid, therefore he can more easily have in mind to begin with that he wants to assign it to somebody else's tum rather than his own. And the Ramban talks about that essentially he sort of makes it hefter in that sense, that at the beginning of Yom Tov, it doesn't acquire his tum at all. It doesn't acquire anybody's tum, and therefore it only... because he knows it's going to be sold, and therefore it picks up the tchum on Yom Tov of whoever buys it on Yom Tov itself.
Like, it's so simple. This thing is definitely going to be sold.
Yeah. On the other hand, continues Shmuel, Shoshal Roya, on the other hand, an ox that belongs to a shepherd who doesn't necessarily, so he may sometimes sell them, but he's not in the business of selling them, like the way a patam is, Hareu Karagli, Oseir, then the animal goes according to the feet of the people of that city. Meaning, in other words, if a person comes from a different city to buy it, then we don't say that it takes on his tum. And the reason is, so Rashi says, because the difference is, again, a patam, people regularly come buy from him, even from other cities, because the fact that he's a patam, the fact that he has fat animals for sale, people come even from nearby cities to buy them. Whereas a Roya, who has plain old animals, people don't usually come. His clientele is not people from other cities. It can be people from that city, fine, but it's not expected that people are going to come from other cities to buy it. Because why should they? They don't have to schlep all the way to his city to buy it. They can just as easily buy an animal of that quality in their own city.
Now, with regard to Eichel Nefesh, which is this whole thing of Yom Tov, this patam is selling the behemoth, but these people that are buying it, they don't have it ready before Yom Tov. They didn't mukham. They're just buying it today. What's the head difference?
A domestic animal is already mukhan. We're going to actually talk about that in the last mishnah of our masechta. But domestic animals that you have, that as long as there's das on them before Yom Tov, then they're fine. In this case, the patam himself has it in his possession before Yom Tov. The other guy, it doesn't matter. The fact that you can't say it's mukhsa for one person and not for another. So therefore, it ends up being that whoever buys it on Yom Tov, it's not mukhtza for him. He didn't need to do achana before Yom Tov. It was implicitly mukhan already because it was in the patam's possession.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, the Mishnah had said, Ashroyo kli mechaveira me'erev Yom Tov, that if a person borrows a keli from somebody else erev Yom Tov, then it goes according to his tchum, but if he borrows it on Yom Tov, then it goes according to the owner's tchum. So the first part, if he borrowed an Erev Yom Tov, that it goes according to his tchum, the Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? And the answer is, Leitzricha shalei mosrele Erev Yom Tov. Suppose that they arranged the borrowing before Yom Tov, but he only picked it up on Yom Tov itself. Mao detema lav v'rshusei eichmei. So you could argue maybe it didn't get into his rishus at the beginning of Yom Tov. It was in the owner's possession. It was in his house at the beginning of Yom Tov. Therefore, maybe it takes on his tchum. And now in the middle of Yom Tov, we can't switch it over to the other guys. Kamash malon. Therefore, we're saying because they arranged that he's going to borrow it already on Erev Yom Tov, therefore already it's considered in his Rishus as of the beginning of Yom Tov. Here it's not even a matter of Brera. They knew in advance that he's going to borrow it. So therefore, the fact that he didn't have physical possession of it doesn't matter. So the Gemara says, Nesayle l'Rabbi Yechanan. Well then, this statement supports what Rabbi Yechanan said. Do'am Rabbi Yechanan, Ashoyo kli mechaveira me'erev Yom Tov. A person borrows a keli from somebody else Erev Yom Tov. Even if he only actually gave it to him on Yom Tov, then it goes according to the tchum of the one who borrowed it, which is what we're saying that our Mishnah implies. Then we said, on the other hand, if he borrows it only on Yom Tov, then it goes according to the owner's tchum. So again, the question is pshita. If we're saying that the reisha is talking about where he just asked verbally to borrow it, and they agreed on that, then what is the sefer telling us that in a case where he didn't make that arrangement before Yom Tov, of course, why would we think that it goes according to the shoyel? He didn't arrange it before Yom Tov. He didn't pick it up before Yom Tov. The answer is, loit sricha, the chiddush of the Mishnah is, the rogel v'shoyel minei. Let's say that this borrower is regularly borrowing this thing from the mashal. Every Yom Tov, he comes regularly and asks to borrow this particular suit or whatever. So you might think after several times of that, the mashal is already thinking in advance, you know what, this guy is going to be coming on Yom Tov to borrow the suit again. I already have in mind before Yom Tov that it's going to be in his, rishus. Kamash Mulan, therefore the Mishnah is telling us no. If they didn't actually arrange the borrowing before this particular Yom Tov, then no. Why? Mema Oma, because the mashal, the owner of the item, may say, you know why? I know he regularly has come every Yom Tov to borrow this thing, but after all, Dilma Mashkach in Shachrina, he may well have found somebody else, but also was Shoimene, and he went and he's now going to go borrow from him. So therefore, the Mashal does not necessarily have in mind specifically that this item is going to be in the Rishus of the Shoyal come Yom Tov, just because he borrowed it from him every previous Yom Tov, because as long as they didn't arrange it beforehand, then as far as he's concerned, the guy might have borrowed it from somebody else. So therefore, that's what the Mishnah is telling us, that in that case, even if the guy does show up on Yom Tov to borrow it, then it still goes according to the Mashal's territory, according to his tchum, and not according to the Shoyal, which again would mean if the Shoyal made an Eruv Tchumin to get there, then he's not going to be able to take it throughout his entire area, only as far as the Mashal himself would have been allowed to walk on Yom Tov. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, v'chein ha'isha sh'shalom echabata, we said that if a woman borrows on Yom Tov water or salt for her dough or spices for her pot of food, Then he said also that the Tanakhama had said that the resulting dough is kiraglishkehen. They can only bring it to a place where both of them have in common or able to walk on Yom. And Rabbi Huda had said that no, Mayim Melach, not Mayim. He said that Mayim, he says it's different because ain't behind Mamish, there's no Mamoshis in them. So now let's discuss that point. This Gemara that we're going to have, by the way, a number of the Mephoshim say is a very, very difficult piece of Gemara to understand. Not so much, I mean, the words themselves are easier enough to understand, but what exactly was the svaras back and forth that we have over here? So we'll do our best with it. The Gemara tells, Kisolik Rab Abba, when Rab Abba was going up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he said, Yehei Rabba de Ema Milsit Skabel. It should be Hashem's will that when I reach Eretz Yisrael, I say something in Torah, I say something in Halacha that will be accepted by the Chacham of Eretz Yisrael. So I'm not embarrassed. So I don't say something which they slug me up and then I'm embarrassed. Kisolik. So when he went up, when he reached Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechel Rab Yochanan v'Rab Chanina v'Papi v'Rab Zera. So he found those three. He found these three chachamim. V'Amri Lo Rab Abo v'Rab Shimon v'Pazi v'Rab Yitzchak Nafka. Others say he found three other chachamim. V'Yasvi v'Amri. They were sitting and saying they were wondering about the case in our Mishnah. Amai. Why should we say that? So Rachel borrows water and salt to make a dough from Leah, and we're saying that now the resulting dough has part from Rachel and part from Leah, and therefore it's limited to their common form. Why? The lifto minor melech v'gabi isa. Why don't we say that the water and the salt are bottled to the dough? After all, it's bottled v'roi. The dough, the amount of flour in the dough is larger than the amount of water and salt, so therefore it should be bottled. Amalahu Rab Abba. So Rab Abba says to them, so what? Just because it's a smaller amount doesn't mean that it should be bottled. Now, before we get into that, actually, Tosfos points out, wait a second, it's Dovash Yesh Lamatir anyway, so why are we even talking about it being bottled? So Tosfos says, because of the difference between min, first of all, there's a difference between min b'minoi and min b'she'enei minoi. Here you're talking about b'she'enei minoi, because you're talking about water and salt versus flour. Also, Tosfos says that really, when you usually talk about min b'minoi versus min b'she'enei minoi, it's a matter of that because you have it, it gives a flavor to it. Whereas over here, it has nothing to do with the flavor. It has to do, there's a matter of who owns this water and who owns the salt. The fact is, in the end, once the dough is made, who owns the dough? Rachel, who's making it, not Leah, who lent her the water and the salt. So therefore, so these chachamim, this set of three chachamim, whichever set it is, are arguing that it should be bottled. But Rab Abba says, so what? You're talking about a matter of ownership over here. Imagine that you have one person's kav of wheat got mixed up with 10 kavim of wheat that belong to somebody else. Would we say that the other guy can just eat the whole thing and be happy, and that he got something for free, something that he didn't work for? In other words, the point is, just you don't say that, obviously. The other guy still retains his ownership of that one calf. In other words, when we talk about bitur, you're talking about as far as a matter of iser v'heter. You're not talking about a matter of dine mominus. So the same way over here, it shouldn't be bottled because the fact is the water belonged to her and it was kona shvisa by her. Achichu ale. So they laughed at him. They didn't think that his argument is valid. So he tells them, what are you laughing at me? Did I take your clothing? And therefore you're laughing at me. It actually explains a gulsa specifically is you have a wrap that a person wraps like a jacket that they put around them, and then they put their talus over it. So when they sit down, they take off their talus and you see the gulsa. So did I take your gulsa that you're laughing at me? And they laughed at him some more. By the way, the Chassam Sofer says, you see from this, that maybe it's not such a good thing to say, like Rab Abba said, Yehei Rabba De'ema Milsa Disaskabel, Hashem should help that I say something. In other words, don't be learning Torah in order that people should accept what you're saying. Learn Lashma, say things over Lashma, and then you have more of a chance of success. Here, Vedavka, because he asked that they should accept what he said, therefore ended up, therefore backfire on him.
Wow.
Yeah. Omer of Oshia, Shapur Obada Chichu Ale. But Rab Oshia says, in fact, they were right at laughing on him. Because why did he mention davka wheat with wheat? Why did he mention wheat getting mixed in wheat? He didn't mention wheat getting mixed in barley. Because the reason must be because there it's min b'she'enei minay, and we know min b'she'enei minay bottle. If you have wheat mixed into barley, surely it's not going to be bottle because. It's she'enei minay, and therefore you don't just get you don't just have bitul b'roiv. You need to have bitul enough that you don't have a flavor of it. Chitin b'chitin nami. Even when it comes to wheat mixed into wheat, why is Rab Abba mentioning that case also? The fact is, we have a machloikas Rab Yehuda and the Chachamim whether min b'minay bottle or not. Rab Yehuda holds min b'minay is never bottle. Well, nehi de Rab Yehuda like bottle. Granted that according to Rab Yehuda, min b'minay is not going to be bottle. L'rabbanan mifto bottle. But according to the Rabbanan, even min b'minay can be bottle. So that's why they were laughing at him, because why is he telling them from a case where it's min b'minay, wheat mixed into wheat, and according to the Chacham, it's bottle. Well, they're arguing that's bottle. So now, again, so you have the Shittim Kubetzis points out, this is a very difficult Gemara. The Pnei Yeshua said, the Pnei Yeshua calls it a Sefer HaChosum, it's like a sealed book. The Chassam Sofer says on it that if somebody can figure out this Gemara in a way that's miskabel, then he'll be considered a great expert. So the question is basically, what was Rab Abba's Svara? What was Rab Abba's Svara in bringing this analogy of one person's wheat getting mixed into another person's wheat, and what were they answering him by laughing? So the Pnei Yehoshua, for example, has a long lumdish discussion of it, where he explains that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara is saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, min b'minay is not bottle, according to the Chachamim it is. So it came down to the question, essentially, do we apply it even in a case like this, where we're talking about monetary ownership? Here we're talking about, after all, we're not saying that the water or the salt or anything is intrinsically osir. We're not talking about the usual case of a dvar isir that's mixed in with a dvar heter, and you can talk about whether it's bottle or not. Here, both of them are mutter, they just have different woman, they have different ownerships. So what do we say happens to bittul when we're dealing with ownership like that? So he has a long lumdish explanation on it, and he explains that Rab Abba had taka a certain valid svara, and it's not like the average person who heard it would say, yeah, of course Rab Abba is right, only it took great chachamim, like the ones we're mentioning, to realize the logical flaw in his argument. That after all, in a certain sense over here, the water and salt is not really a different min. It is fundamentally the same min, because and therefore according to the Yehuda, and therefore according to the Chachamim, rather, it will be bottled. There's no flavor that it's giving. There's nothing that it's adding to the dough such that we should say that it's not bottled. Unlike Rab Abba is saying that if one person's wheat gets mixed in with another wheat, it's not bottled, but a case of water and salt being mixed into a dough is something completely different.
Salt won't give it a flavor? Salt?
Okay, so maybe we're not talking about the salt in the dough. We're talking about the water. Obviously, water gives it a flavor also. There's a big difference between the flavor of raw flour and a dough. But nevertheless, we can still say that the Pnei Yeshua, I'm saying, has a long explanation why these Chachamim might have held that that's not considered min b'she'enei minay in the sense of something that gives a flavor. It does end up becoming bottled to the dough. And therefore, their question is, so why should we say now that this dough is limited to the common tchum of both women?
By the way, dough contains salt and water by itself.
What do you mean? When you start out with a few cups of flour, there's no water in there and there's no salt in there.
Afterwards, there is water in dough without... No, there is water in dough and there is salt in dough that's within the dough itself, within the flour itself, I mean.
You're talking about on the molecular level, fine. We're not talking about on that level of things. We're not talking about if you look at it under a microscope. Yeah, I mean, it's true.
Inside of
wheat grain and inside of it. Yeah, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the water that's visible. The water that's visible, you can't make a dough with the water that's inside the flour. It's true, there are water molecules in there, nevertheless, that's not what we're talking about. Well, you can't make a dough with that. She borrowed water from her neighbor. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Amalei Rav Safra. So Rav Safra says to Rav Oshia, who explained what that these Chachamim were correct in arguing on Rav Abba. In other words, Rav Oshia is pointing out the logical flaw in Rav Abba's argument that there's a big difference between water and in a dough versus one person's wheat mixed in with another person's wheat. So Rav Safra says to him, Moshe Shapir Ka'amrit. Moshe, are you saying correctly? In other words, why are you agreeing that they were right in making fun of Rav Abba, and therefore that their kasha on the Mishnah is valid? In fact, I can show you that it's not, as we'll show in a second. What does he mean, Moshe Shapir Ka'amrit? So over here, Rashi explains it means he's swearing by the honor of Moshe. On the other hand, we have the same expression in Sukkah, and there Rashi explained that it means Moshe Gadol Hador. You have in a number of places in Chassidus, it talks about, according to that second explanation, Al Pi Kabbalah, every Talmud Chacham in particular has a nitzitz of Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, he's calling him Moshe, like you're the Moshe of our time. You have the nitzitz of Moshe in our time, but is what you're saying correct? In fact, there's a different explanation that he's not speaking to Rav Oshia, he's speaking to Rav Abba and saying, Bini Chose, he's saying, Moshe, Shapir Ka'amrit, he's saying to Rav Abba, actually what you said is correct, and those Chachamim were incorrect for laughing at you. Because, didn't those three Chachamim hear, and Rav Oshia, hear of what Rav Chiyak Tosfah said in the name of Rab, Habodav Tzroidas Vigona Shachaveroi. Suppose a person has a whole granary full of grain. Inevitably, there's some dirt and rocks mixed in with the grain. So now, if he wants to go and sell a saw of it, or whatever amount of it, to somebody else, inevitably, there's going to be some dirt and pebbles and whatever mixed in. The other guy can't complain, because that's the derech of things, that you have a certain amount of that. But now, suppose that Reuven has this granary, where he was intending to sell a saw of it to Shimon. Meanwhile, Levi comes by and starts picking out the pebbles from the grain. So now, when Reuven is going to sell, now when Reuven is going to measure out the saw for Shimon, he's going to end up selling. He's going to end up putting in more grain than he otherwise would. Chayev l'shalom l'mid meichitim. Levi is obligated to pay Reuven the value of the wheat that would have fit in that volume of the rocks that he took out. Now, by the way, Reuven can't say, okay, you know, Levi can't say, you know what, fine, I'll just put the rocks back in and be potter that way, because you're not allowed to deliberately mix them in. If they happen to be there from the harvest, then yeah, but not. So, Alma, so, therefore, sort of Safra says, so we see Kaila Chasre, we see, therefore, why are we being Mechai of Levi in that case? Because he reduced the amount that he's measuring. In other words, it's true that the rocks themselves are not worth anything, but on the other hand, they take up a space that otherwise would have been taken up with wheat, and therefore he's chayev for removing them. So the same thing over here, all the more so water. Water is an essential for dough. Without water, you're not going to have a dough. The same thing you could argue over here. Why would the water be bottled just because there's a small amount of it? The fact is that when you have a chi of mammon, then things are not bottled with meal, which is like Rav Abba said, that when you have one person's kav of wheat gets mixed up with somebody else's 10 kav of wheat, then it's not bottled. The same logic, in other words, as those pebbles are not bottled in the in the wheat. So therefore, Rav Safra is defending Rav Abba's view and saying, why are they even wondering about our Mishnah? Why indeed should the water be bottled? Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says to Rav Safra, don't you realize that there's a difference between mammon that has money which somebody has a claim on, versus money where somebody is not claiming today? Namely, when it comes to the pebbles, that were mixed in the grain, sure, it was in Reuven's granary. He has a monetary claim on it right now. Right now, because you, Levi, took out those pebbles, therefore now I'm having to give Shimon more wheat than I otherwise would. You caused me a hefsek. On the other hand, over here, the fact is, Leah lent the water to Rachel. She's not going to be getting it back. She's not going to be getting it back on Yom Tov itself. So she doesn't have any. So it's true. The water that went into the dough did belong to her at the beginning of Yom Tov, but now it's Mamon She'en Lo Tovin. The only problem is that we're not talking about a matter of that it actually belongs to her Lalacha. We're talking about just that. Yodo, you mind having a conversation elsewhere? So therefore, so over here, yeah, you're talking about a matter of Bibles, of ownership. But it's not the kind of monetary ownership where Leah can come and say to Rachel, you know what, because I gave you the water, therefore I own X amount of the dough. All it is, it's more of a technical thing, because the water was in her Rishus at the beginning of Shabbos, at the beginning of Yom Tov, rather, therefore it got her Tum, and therefore it's locked into that Tum, and that's that. So there's a big difference. So just because you have the din involving the pebbles, where that's Mamon She'en Lo Tovin, doesn't necessarily follow that would also apply to the water over here where it's Ein Lo Tovin. Amale, Sarah of Safra answers back, the Litai Meich, so according to your own Svara, that you're saying that makes a difference, whether we're talking about something where the person actually has a monetary claim to it or not. And then what about Hoda Amar Rav Chista? What about a din that Rav Chista said, Nevela Betela B'Shchuta, meat that's Nevela can be bottled if it gets mixed up with a larger amount of meat that was Shechted, which is a kosher meat. And the reason is, because the Shechted meat, the kosher meat, can never become Nevela. In other words, it's Min B'She'en Eminer. So therefore, min b'she'en minoy can be bottle, according to everybody, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Min b'she'en minoy is bottle, as long as there's little enough of it that it doesn't give a tap. So they, in other words, 1 in 60 or whatever. Shchuta ain't a b'teila b'nevela, but vice versa, if you have kosher meat that was mixed up with nevela, it's not bottle in it, you're not going to be able to eat it, obviously, fine, but it doesn't gain the status of nevela, l'fisha efshel b'nevela, shchuta also shchuta, because it's possible for Nevela, it's possible for Nevela, so in other words, we're not talking about as far as eating, rather, Rashi says we're talking about as far as Tuma. We know that Nevela is Matame, kosher meat is not. So if you have, so if a kazayas of Shchuta got mixed up with a larger amount of Nevela, we don't say that anybody that touches any part of the mixture is Tomei Vadai. Because Nevela can become Shchuta as far as the dinim of Tumah V'Tahara, namely that eventually the Nevela can spoil to the point where it's not Matame anymore. So therefore, the Shchuta can't be bottled in it. In that sense, in other words, it's kind of like Min B'Minay. So Hochi Nami D'Chi'islei Bailam Le'Botla. So you're going to say that there's a difference whether that meat belongs to somebody or whether it's Hector. According to your logic, Abaya, that it makes a difference Mamon She'yesh Le'Tovim or not. V'chitema hochinami. So you might answer, yeah, maybe. Maybe Rav Chista din only applies to Nevela and Shchuta that are Hefker. Maybe it wouldn't apply to Nevela and Shchuta that belong to somebody. No. V'hotanya. Omer Rav Yechanan Nuri. Cheftze Hefker Kodim Shvisa. Objects that are Hefker, that were Hefker at the beginning of Shabbos or Yom Tov, they are Kodim Shvisa where they were. And therefore you can only carry them 2,000 amas from where you found them. So even though they don't have an owner, we consider it as though they had an owner. Actually, Rashi says Rabbi Yechon Manuri doesn't say that in so many words, but the Gemara deduces that in Eruvin from something that he says over there. You have a case over there involving a well between two cities or rain that falls on Shabbos and whatever, and the Gemara discusses over there Rabbi Yechon Manuri's opinion about Chefte Hefte. So therefore, we see that there's no difference whether it has ownership or not. It's Mamon She'en Lo Tovin, and still it's Kohen Shvisa. Tosfos says, I mean, obviously, so what? The halacha could be like the Chachamim, not like Rabbi Yechon and Nuri. But still, the point is that we see that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yechon and only when it's completely Hefter. It had no Bailam at all. Where it had Bailam at the beginning of Yom Tov, even if it's Ein Lo Tovim right now, even if it's like the water in the dough where Leah has no monetary ownership of this dough, you still might well say that it is bottled. Rav Safra is saying to Abaya, That there's obviously no difference. It doesn't matter yesh leitovin or ein leitovin. Either way, the same dinim apply. So therefore, it's correct to say that the water would not be bottled, even though it's ein leitovin. And therefore, Rav Abba was correct in drawing an analogy with where one person's wheat gets mixed up with somebody else's. And the three chachamim were not right in making fun of him for that. Amalei, sort of Abaya answers that. Yeah, but how are you comparing a case of nevela mixed with shota, which is a matter of isra v'heter, to a case of mammon, which is what we're dealing with over here? Because of the tchum. In other words, the point is, what makes it that it acquired one or another person's tchum is that it belonged to them at the beginning of Shabbat. It belonged to them at the beginning of Yom Tov. So isra bottle mammon like bottle. When it comes to isra v'heter, you could say it's bottle. When it comes to mammon, not necessarily. So therefore, we could in fact say that it's not bottle. And then you have the question. So therefore, we can say that it's not bottle, just like Rav Abba said. So now that we went through that whole discussion, now that we said that, look, you can't really prove one way or the other logically why it should be bottle or not. Why indeed then is the Mishnah saying that the water is not bottle and therefore that it goes according to the tchum of, the common tchum of both of them? Based on what we just said, based on what we just finished off with, it seems that it should be, that the iser of it should be bottle. So Abaya says, you're right. If it was just that she's borrowing water and making a dough, in principle, it should just go according to the woman who made the dough. But we make a gzera because they might actually make a dough in partnership, and now you're going to have each person, each one later is going to take her half of it and take it to her place, and then you're going to have a problem because each one is going to be taking some of it outside of the tomb where it was. In other words, fine, you have Rachel own the flour, Leah own the water. Now when they divide it up, Rachel is getting some of the flour and Leah is getting some of the flour and the same thing with the water. So each one is carrying things outside of the tchum where, of the person where it belonged to at the beginning. Rava says a different reason. Rava says, Tavlin, the time abidi, spices are made to flavor a dish, the time a bottle, and flavor can't be bottle. The whole point is, when something is bottle, means that it didn't give a flavor. So Rashi says that Abaya and Rava are not really arguing. Abaya is telling us why it would apply to the dough, and Rava is saying why it would apply to the dish. Tosfos actually says, not necessarily, they might be arguing. Abaya's answer would work for the dough as well as for the kedera, because he might make it the shukros. Rava's answer is a different answer, that the din about the spices would in fact be the same as far as the water and the salt for the dough, because after all, those are an essential thing. Those give a flavor, like you said before, those give a flavor, the salt gives a flavor to the dough, and the water is essential to the dough. Without it, you don't have a dough. So Rava is saying that that's reason enough to answer it. But Rav Ashi says another consideration. Because it's a davar shiyesh lematirin. Because today you have the issue of the tchum. Tomorrow you're not going. V'chol davar shiyesh lematirin not going to be elafle bottle. And we know already that something like that is not bottle even in 1,000. So even independent of the question of when do we apply bittul or not, but we're never going to apply it by davar shiyesh lematirin. So now Tosfos adds over here that we consider it because tchumen is more chomer, therefore we consider it as though it was min b'minoy, and therefore say, we would say, Tosfa says that davar shiyesh lematirin still would be mutter if it was min b'she'en minoy, if it was something in a different min, but here, where it's just here, because of tchumen, we consider as though it was all the same min. And also Tosfa says, once it's all blended together into one dough, then in fact it is one min. There's a long ran in Midorim that talks about the whole basis of the concept. Why should davar shiyesh lematirin not be bottle? He explains that basically, for something to be bottle, they have to be opposites. For example, isur v'heter. When you have davar shiyesh lematirin, it's not really truly osur. So therefore, it has a degree of heter in it. Therefore, it can't be bottle because now it's min miminay. So he says, by the same token, then in this case over here, it's not really osur. We're not talking about a matter of it being osur. We're just talking a matter of tchumen. This has a tchum, this has a different tchum. Therefore, we can still say that it's still considered the same min of the other one, because they're all mutter, and therefore we can't say that it would be batel, because this would only apply to min b'she'enim.